Let's open our Bibles tonight, back to the first chapter of the Song of Solomon, the bridal journey in the Song of Solomon. I was thinking and asking the Lord, just so touch my heart, and just why is this Song of Solomon study so important? Well, he's calling to us, isn't he? He's singing to us, saints. That's what he's doing. He's singing, and he's singing and calling to us so that our hearts will fully awake to knowing this song is ours. See, the bride knows this is her song. This isn't just a chapter in the Bible. This isn't just a wonderful, literary, beautiful poem about lovers. This is the song to the bride of Christ. And I thank the Lord. This, again, this is the word that has always been. This song has always been. He's waited to sing this song to you. I mean, really, this isn't just being romantic. It's the truth. The word's always been. This has always been there. And it's always been there for us. All of the word. We understand this. But especially what we're studying and rejoicing in and hearing sung to our hearts, it's incredible. And his encouragement to us is incredible. And it's the truth in love, it's the spirit in truth, it's the word of his grace that inspires your heart on to winning Christ. That's it. It's not determination. It's not your effort. It's not by your might. We know it is his spirit. And his spirit is the one that guides the camel train. His spirit is the one guiding that camel train that takes the things of Christ, which he has all of them that he's given to you. And he shows them to you all along the way. And we're almost home. Praise the Lord. We're almost to the bridegroom. But this loving encouragement, I thank God last week, even after this, in a sense, this distraction where she was overtaken by ones that wanted her to be busy with their stuff. You ever have ones that want you to be busy with their stuff and get you out of the one stuff thing? The best part, you understand that. Those are the ones like Martha. Those are the ones, the critics, that are always analyzing your life as you're sitting there at the best part at the feet of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And they come in all different packages that are at his feet, don't they? There's one thing about all those packages, they never really look right to man. They come with lots of problems. They come with lots of issues. But those are exact, complete, wonderful, ordained gifts of God that brought you to the feet of the lover of your soul. Aren't you thankful you know that? But last week, even after all of that distraction she had, how does he start off? Verse 8, O thou fairest among women. Never forget, that translates, O my most beautiful wife. I mean, that's the first thing this guy says. You've been distracted, ignored him. You know how we are. And it's like Mary in the garden. Mary. Spoke her name. Mary. Whoa. And here he is to us, my most beautiful wife. And then he says, come take the closest place to me. I want you right there. Right next to my tent. You know. I've adorned you. What did he say there? I've given you the wedding earrings, the necklace. You're the pearl of great price to me. And with all that, she's now ready to respond. And she really does respond in such a height. And I thank God, this is how we interact with the Lord as we grow up into him in all things. We begin to interact with him as a spouse, don't we? You understand that? We don't come in fearfully. We come in a thanksgiving, but yet in a boldness. And the boldness that we come into God with is his love for us. We know how he loves us. Yes, we're accepted in the beloved. The depth of this love, this intimacy that the Lord has called us to know. So she's ready to respond. And she's ready to respond with knowledge and understanding. Not just with zeal, but zeal according to knowledge. Thank God people can get excited about Jesus. We should be the most excited about Jesus because of the knowledge by the grace of God, the knowing, the intimacy of love that the Lord has given us through Paul's gospel. And what great love he has to her is how she'll respond to him now. What grace has made her is how she's going to respond to him now. What mercy has called her to be, the love wherewith he has adorned her, and best of all, how he sees his predestinated wife. It's always been you, honey. Know that with every single choice of God, all of these cast of characters, from Moses to David to Aaron to Abel to all of these wonderful, Sarah, Bathsheba, it wasn't going to be anybody else. It couldn't be, because that was the election of God. That was whom he foreknew, he predestinated. Nobody else is going to be in that place in that pew but you, Brother James, and you, Brother Alex, and you, Brother Mark. That's it. This is how God works. He's that ordained in ordaining our steps. The good works wherewith we walk in. I'm so thankful to God. I'm convinced. I'm confident in his grace. In his grace. In grace's choice. Grace's choice. By grace, grace gave me grace's choice, because grace chose me. That's grace for grace. Praise God. Now, here's her response in verse 11. She says, "We will make thee borders of gold and studs of silver." Now, I thank God for all the word through these years that the Lord has built up in my life, built up in your life. The word of his grace builds us up, gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Amen? If we're going on in the grace of God, is there ever a stopping of that building? No. It just becomes more magnificent all the time, doesn't it? Praise God. That's what grace does. That's why Paul says that we need to have understanding. We need to be careful how we build thereupon. Yes, upon what Paul and what was given to him, that foundation that was laid of the bridal message. So we need to, again, be aware that thanks be to God that we continue to build upon it. And we know, again, that's just the grace of God that's with us. But I am appreciative in this 11th verse in hearing that about the borders and the gold and the studs of silver and so many different facets of that diamond that have been brought out. But I thank God for the time of the much the more that we have right now. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, we are this bridal company. We are this company that comes and makes for him the borders of gold and studs of silver. And this border, it's so beautiful. What the border is, it's just a circle of gold that goes around a head. A circle of gold that goes around a head with spikes of silver. It's a crown. It's a crown. That's what we bring to him, is his crown. The woman is the glory of man. Thank the Lord that his crowning is his wife. The crowning that he receives to take the throne as God. Praise the Lord. Now, how do we know these things? Well, praise God for his word. Hebrews 10, 12, and 13 tells us that Jesus Christ currently sits at the right hand of God. We know that. When he ascended, he took a seat at the right
hand of God. And he is there. And he awaits the one thing that he does not know. The one thing that he does not know is when that hour will begin. When he says, son, go get your wife. So he waits as his friends are waiting for his voice to call. That's what they say. They're waiting. The friends of the bridegroom wait for the voice of the bridegroom. Amen. To call for his wife. So here we have the Lord at the right hand of God, and he is waiting to take the throne as God. He'll take that for 1,000 years. We read that in many places, Revelation 20, verse 6. But yet, as we know, there's one thing that has to happen. There's something that has to occur before that crowning will begin. And I'd like to go back and read that in 2 Thessalonians with you tonight. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Brothers and sisters, we're awaiting this call tonight. We're awaiting, praise the Lord, for this moment of the day of the Lord to begin. And in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, reading from verse 1, it says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Isn't that glorious? See, that is the readied heart. That's the perfect-hearted king. Brother Paul has this. His expectation is at the moment that he's penning this by the Spirit, we're at the time of the coming of the Lord. Now, there's the fool that'll look at that and say, well, he didn't come then. It's been 2,000 years. Well, if we're going to get that smarty, well, we can say, okay, well, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. So it's been a couple days, huh? Come on. We know that even with Jacob waiting for Rachel, as he waited 14 years for that woman, but it was like just a few days. Are you in love like that? Praise God, amen. The Lord's been waiting since beginning. He's in love like that. And if he gives us that love, you know what that love is? It's patient, it waits, it endures. It's tried, it's tested. Amen. Because it pleases the Father. It pleases the Father. And that life of the Son in us, it pleases the Father to chasten that life. Yes, praise God. That life is just the same. And it pleases the Father just the same. But as it goes on here, it says that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. All right? And I'll tell you what, it's close. And we know it. And I know there's so many, and even Christians, our brethren, sometimes get out there, oh, it's this one, it's that one, it's this and that. Quit looking out here and look up. Let the Lord take care of that. What you think? Amen? He didn't tell us to try to define who it is. He didn't say go out there and search and seek who the Antichrist is and talk about it, you know, every time you get together. Talk about how wicked the world is every time we get together. Sadly, so many people of God, that's all they want to dwell upon. To rally around something that if that's going to be your idol, it'll defeat you from hearing the first trumpet rapture. And it will. It robs you. It sounds so good. It seems like we have such a cause. We can really, you know, wrap our hands around that because it's a good work, we think. But oh my. All you have is a bunch of wood, hay, and stubble. We don't want that. We want the gold, silver, and precious stone. Praise the Lord. That's what we want. We want what he wants. Now, until there come a falling away first, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Isn't that something? He told them about these things, but now he says, and now you know what's withholding that he might be revealed in his time. Isn't that something? See, think of even our growth as Christians. We know as we grow along early on, most Christians, I thank the Lord, understand and believe this, Satan's real. Oh, yeah. And their judgment's coming. And yes, they grow and understand that there's going to be an Antichrist. There's going to be a horrible time. There's going to be one that presents himself as God. And all these things. But then what happens is that one grows up and understands and knows why it hasn't happened yet. It's you. It's me. It's the readying of the wife for the Lamb of God. Look at what it says. And now you know what withholdeth. Oh, I love that. Oh, my goodness. That might be revealed in this in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That mystery of iniquity has been out there ever since Satan hit this earth. It's just been growing. Everything that's exalted itself above God. That's what Satan does. That's all he can do. He's a liar. And all this false godliness, all the self-work, all the self-righteousness. And it says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now litteth will lit until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed. Isn't that beautiful? Until he that litteth will lit until he be taken away. Then shall that wicked be revealed. Amen. That is so glorious. So what that means, brothers and sisters, and we know this, is what's detaining this or what's holding this back that's going to be taken out of the way, and then the wicked is going to be revealed, all right? I thank the Lord. I'm going to understand all this, but I'll be in a whole different place. Because then that wickedness will be revealed. But this one, this beauty that is holding all of this back, that's detaining this, praise God, saints, it's the bride that is just about ready to be called to meet him in the air. And that's what's so glorious, and that's what we thank the Lord so much for. Hallelujah, that she will be his crown and his glory. This is that crowning that she brings him. And praise God, she's bold. And this is what goes on as we go back in here to Song of Solomon. She's bold in the knowledge of his love to her. She's bold in thanking the Lord. Aren't you grateful to God that you bring him glory? Aren't you thankful to God that you'll be of that company that will give him glory? I mean, I want to give him glory. And here it is. Glory's here. Christ in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The glory that shall be revealed in you. In you. In me. It is. It's beyond. But that's the love, praise God, of our Lord to us. That's the assurance of the faith that he gives us that doesn't waver, that does have the blinders on. That's all we see. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful that's all I see. I thank God. God gave me that mom back there. That was it. I saw and heard all of the insults to my mother all those years. Oh, Nancy, she's simple. She's just in la-la land. And, you know, she just, you know, she's not out there doing this and that and all. No, mom was a fixed. And she still is. And it's not to flatter, and it's not because she's my mother. But I thank God. And you mark them as examples, honeys. And you do. and you mark them, and you follow those that follow Paul as he followed Christ. This is simple, isn't it? This is not complex. This is the simplest thing there is. This is so clear to the light. You have to not want to see this. You have to reject this. This depth of this word of God, this love that he has for his wife, praise God. And think of that. This is what's so amazing about our Lord. Not only did he want everyone, every life to be saved, he wanted everyone to come to the full knowledge of this. He is not a respecter. He's not a respecter of person. And he's not a respecter of his children. He's really not. When you're born of God, you're born Lord of all. All the potential of all the fullness of God is all there. There's nothing lacking. All grace, all mercy, all truth, every gift, bam, right there. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That's everything. Everything. But once again, how beautiful and how simple. Do you understand? Do you know your birthright? And think of what we waste our time in trying to know and trying to do, trying to become, when you're everything. Right now, born of God, you're everything. Because you're everything to him. You're everything to the Lord, everything of God. Everything of God was invested in his son that is invested in you. Everything. God's full inheritance. Here you are. This is it. This is what he has spent everything in. You. You. It's phenomenal. And that's the good fight of faith, because going by our sight and our feeling, there's no way any of that's true. Zero. Zero. I've got to have a little bit of me. I've got to have a little bit of this. Every time I run down that rabbit hole, I only get more disappointed. Oh, I'm so thankful to God for the blinder saints. And it's because of the word of his grace that he keeps pouring out and 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 pouring out. So now she's got boldness. In verse 12, what does she say? While the king sits at his table, my spikenard sends forth the smell thereof. Oh my, what he's given her. It's hers for him. Isn't that something? The glory he's given you is yours for him. She has the glory of God. She descends from heaven having the glory of God. She's got him. She gives it to him. It's the grace for grace. See, it's just marvelous. Spikenard, the contents of the alabaster box, saints. There it is. Isn't that beautiful? The spikenard is the contents of the alabaster box. And what did that alabaster box do? It brought him ecstasy. Broke it upon him. Whoa. He was gone. You couldn't even almost bring him back. And that's how he is. Praise the Lord and what he's given us. We are the good pleasure of his will. The heights of love, the best part. Spikenard grows in the Himalayas. The highest place. You want that alabaster? It's got to be in the highest place. Paul's gospel place. First love place. And you just pour it out upon him. And there's nothing more intoxicating to our Lord. And praise God, the smell of it when you anoint him with it. Breathe me in, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then, this is so beautiful. See how it says, the king sits at his table? It's so beautiful. That doesn't translate table. It means the roundabout place. The roundabout place. In the midst of the throne, roundabout the throne. The roundabout place. That's the height. That's the center place. The Hebrew, ancient Hebrew wedding, they still do it today. The groom sits in a chair. The bride circles him seven times. Amen. The roundabout. Perfection. Oh, hallelujah. The wheel within the wheel. See it all?
It's all there. And he tells us over and over. And then the Holy Ghost, he just connects it all in the line upon line and precept upon precept. And there comes the masterpiece of grace. Praise the Lord. Verse 13, a bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. Oh, that's so beautiful. Now, we know, and I thank God we know, that myrrh speaks of suffering, doesn't it? And the Lord, we know, tells us to suffer with me, you'll reign with me. And we must suffer to reign. His bridal love brings forth, praise God, all the sufferings. Praise his name. Now, this gets really sweet here. See how it says, my well-beloved unto me? Again, literally, the bed of love. This is so intimate, saints, the bed of love. That's what well-beloved means. It means the bed of love. Through the long nights, the due benevolence of the groom to the wife, the right, the joy to suffer for his sake. 8 times in the Song of Solomon, you'll find the word myrrh. 8. The bridal number. Praise God. It's perfect. Those perfect sufferings, hallelujah, that we have with Christ. The wealthy women, the women that could afford this, those ones that, again, like the queens, they would wear this myrrh around their neck at night because it smelled so beautiful to their husband. Brothers and sisters, the bed of myrrh is where we become fruitful for him. Where we bear fruit for him. The bed of myrrh. That bed of suffering, amen? To know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Huh? And we know what that word know means. It's the intimacy between a man and his wife. Do we really understand spiritually what's going on when we receive, praise God, this precious gospel of this bridal truth? You're entering into sufferings because of that word. Not necessarily the sufferings that we're thinking of. God uses it all. But when we are set apart to him, when we are set apart to him, there is a suffering that comes from the bridal truth. Amen? It becomes the joy that is set before us. Amen, it is. And we enter into that with him. Praise God. And it is the most intimate place. Verse 14. Oh, it keeps turning up in her life. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi, or En-Gedi. She called him king. She called him king the last time in verse 12. No more will she call him king. She'll refer to him as a king because of others, how they see him. But this is the last time she calls him king. From now on, it's beloved. It's beloved, 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 beloved. This is the depth of it. This is all spouse talk. This is how spouses interact with one another. This is the glory, my well-beloved, my bed of love. You're everything to me. It just goes on and on and on and on. And here this En-Gedi, what this is he's the spring of living water in the desert. En-Gedi is the place of a desert. But it's a place in the desert that here pops up these vineyards and these most beautiful waterfalls and this beautiful life that's teeming in a place that you would think was completely dead. But that's how God deals with us. Time after time, praise the Lord. But he takes us out there to prove in us that we love him. Amen. And I thank God his grace is doing that in our lives, brothers and sisters. I mean, this world is a desert. It's an apocalyptic desert, and we haven't even gotten to the apocalypse yet. It really is.
It's just a bastion, sadly, of filth and degradation. The things that are going on, the things that are being pushed and pressed. But God. It only magnifies his jewels the more. It only magnifies his light the more. Oh, he's so grand. That's how he always does this. Then she can't even, he can't contain it. He answers back in 15. Now, brothers and sisters, a lot of ones will say, you know, this one's speaking. You know what? Just receive from the word of God. But I'll tell you what, in verse 15, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. He responds back to her. He just can't, he's beside himself. Throughout the whole Old Testament, whenever you hear the word fair, it's always speaking of a woman. It's always speaking of that woman. Now, she's going to answer back to him in this next verse, and she's going to call him fair, that he's so beautiful too. But you know what? They're kind of like each other. Well, how do you mean you grow from glory to glory into his very image? That when you see him, you shall be like him? In the measure, in the stature, in the fullness of glory unto a perfect man? Is that why you think you look into that glass darkly and you see it? You see him coming out. You see him transparent, but it's him. It's him. It's him. It's glorious. This is what he does. But it says, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. And what that fair means, you're the most beautiful. You're the most beautiful. You're the most beautiful. And then we're right back to the dove's eyes. Eyes that are full of the Spirit. Eyes, praise God, as he says to her, those dove's eyes that you have, honey, are only for me. They only look straight ahead. We talked about that on Sunday. They don't see all the way over here. They just see right there. Sweet brother in the office said, oh, it's just like those living ones there. They walked in lockstep. They walked this way and they looked this way. And then they turned this way with the, everywhere the Spirit turned them, that's all the way that they looked. Straight feet. Right there. This is it. It's the word of his grace that's it for us, isn't it? Oh, I thank God for this. I thank God so sweetly. And I rejoice how different we are. Every one of us, so individual. All the different qualities that make us up. And yet the perfection of love causes us to walk in lockstep with the Spirit as one. It's magnificent. There's nothing like that. Nothing. I've been reading a wonderful book about one of the founding fathers and very godly man. Amazing. Again, God's grace. God's grace, God's grace. But those men and women, they fought for a cause. God used it for good. There was so much that they wanted in the freedom to worship. The letters, honeys, I'll tell you, no matter what people try to twist and tell and all these different things, let me tell you something. God gave us grace to be in this country to have this freedom. And he did. Now, I'm not talking about a perfect people or anything like that. I'm just rejoicing in a perfect God. But it was so sweet that the Lord, even in what they were seeking, which was good, a very good thing, God still honored it. But what it did was it gave us a place for a fertile ground for the perfect will of God.
didn't have to be. And you understand, the Lord's shown us this. See, what do Christians try to do most of the time? They try to create an environment here. An environment that's conducive. We want the environment, but you know where you want the environment? In your heart and in your home. That's where you want it. Honeys, you're never going to change the world. No. And that's not what we're called to. The Lord's even going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. The time that they'll all be evangelized, it's coming, but it isn't now. It's not. I thank the Lord. He that wins souls is wise. I'm grateful to God. Every one of us out here, I'm sure, at one time or another, the Lord has used you, allowed you to have this time where you led somebody to Jesus. Praise God. And even if they didn't accept when you had that opportunity, the word of the Lord never returns void unto him. There's always the reward. Don't ever, brothers and sisters, I tell you, God's got it. Don't ever look for, oh, it's got to be the result. It's got to be the result. Let me tell you something. He knows the end. We're just a plant in water, aren't we? I believe there's only one that gives the increase. Praise God. And I thank the Lord. We can have confidence in everything in our lives like that. Whatever you do, do it heartily unto God. Don't be looking for something new all the time or, oh, it's got to be different. I got to try myself more. I got to do all that. See, I. Stop it. You're just chasing your tail and chasing your tail. And I know it's not easy. I know who this man is, but for God. You talk about doing and action and got to be here, there, and everywhere. Shoot, I wore my pants out from the inside out. And that's the truth. I had a teacher that asked my mother, the very first teacher conference, how do you get that boy to sit still? She says, well, if you figure it out, let me know. And what am I called to now? You ask my sweet wife. And not to feel sorry for me, what do? I sit in an office all day long. Pretty much. Not all day, but pretty much. Thanks be to God. Looking into the word, looking out, as I said, there's a tree outside the window. Speak to me, Jesus. Speak to me. Let me hear you. And I hear him. And you do too. He's given us that ear to hear with the Spirit. He says to the church in Philadelphia. So, you're most beautiful to me. I gave you the eyes, you're like me. They're enlightened eyes of first love. Then she responds back in verse 16. This is us, brothers and sisters, our song. She says to him, beloved, thou art fair. My beloved, mine, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. It's so quick. Isn't it beautiful how the Lord takes us into the intimacy so fast? See, that I will go at the well, that's marriage. And that heart is entwined in the intimacy of it. The consummation will come someday. We know that there's a half hour that's going to be quiet in heaven. In a body like unto his own, I wouldn't even begin to imagine to express to you what that even means. But as he's ravished our hearts before we've even gotten there. Oh my, oh my. He's made us pretty incredible, hasn't he? Even in the natural, brothers and sisters. We are amazing creatures. It's amazing how he's, and I will all step way out there on a limb, how he's made the woman for man and a man for a woman. It's the most beautiful of unions. It's glorious. There's nothing like seeing a wedding. There's nothing like seeing two holding hands walking on a beach. Nothing like it.
He's put a romance in our hearts even naturally because he's God and he's after us. And he said, I'm the God of romance. I'm the romantic God because I'm the God that is love. I'm the God that is love. And you know him as that lover. That's what's so incredible that we have. The lover of our soul, God. Come tonight, lover. But again, throughout now, she's going to exclusively refer to him as my beloved, my husband. She now knows his love for her. But here's what happens, and here's our life. We still must grow up and on through all of the emotions of life, the trials of life, all the way along. And how true that is, isn't it? Think of when the bridal truth really gripped your heart. And you knew this, and you knew this love that he has for you that'll never part. What he wants you to be with him, to rule and to reign jointly with him, to be glorified together with him. Amazing, isn't it? It is. I mean, just incredible, amazing. But yet, even though we know this, even though the word of God touches us, that he cannot lie. That his promises are yea and amen. All right? But yet here we are with all of our, this bounty of emotions and feelings and all these different things and the trials that will hit those buttons that we call that we have to push. And all the way along, it's just to complete the perfection. Jesus wasn't going to be crucified until 33 years old. I don't know what's my last breath nor yours, but I'll assure you one thing, it'll be just as complete. That perfection will not be one moment less. You are now the sons of God, and he deals with you in the fullness that he deals with his son. And that's his truth. So, she then says, our bed. I own it all with you, Lord. Every single bit. Could you imagine somebody coming in your home? Now, getting in your fridge is one thing. Turning on your TV is another. But then going and getting in your bed? And not just getting in it, but saying it's our bed. And it's green. It's eternal. It's forever. His love never changes. His love is perfect. It's eternal. I thank God it's forever. It never, ever changes. And that bride, praise God, the thing she knows is nothing will come between. You foreknew me. You predestinated me. Justified, sanctified, and glorified. I think she's pretty confident in him. And finally she ends it out. I love this. The beams of our house are cedar. And our rafters of fir. Cedars and fir speak of durability and strength. Isn't this glorious? She's describing the house not from the outside. It's all from the inside. She's on the inside. She knows that durability and that strength, she knows it's all him. And she knows it's all kept in Christ. Think about Ephesians, honeys. It's all in Christ. Everything's in him. Everything's in him. And she says, I know you love me. I know I'm more beautiful to you than anything. And once again, that will be the ongoing battle. The ongoing battle all the time. Is his desire for you enough? Yes.
Think of that. Is this desire of God for you enough for your life? Or do you need something more? There isn't. I love it, brother. There isn't anything else. And what's so glorious is his love, if you'll allow it, his love for you does it all. His love for you does it all. That's the whole motivation behind all of this. Because God is love. And his motivation is love. His inspiration is love. His pleasure is love. His ecstasy is love. Let him sing to you, saints. Hear your song. He's singing it. Hear it. Amen? Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed.